It's been a hellacious travel day for a lot of AEW talent trying to get to the show in North Carolina tonight, thanks to Tropical Storm Debbie, which has been wreaking havoc up and down the East Coast. MJF, who you saw on the show tonight, had to drive 10 and a half hours because his flight was canceled. So he drove 10 and a half hours to get to the show tonight for his match with Kyle Fletcher, and he made it. He made it to the show, and it's a good thing he did, because that was one of the rare up points on the show tonight. If he didn't make it to this show, this would have been even worse. I think most of the talent who was supposed to be there tonight did make it to the show. There might have been a few names that weren't there. Maybe Tony Khan had to move a few things around. But I think the majority of the people that they needed and they advertised, you know, Bryan Danielson and MJF and all the key people, Mariah May, Tony Storm, they were all there tonight. They all made the show. You can't really use that as much of an excuse. This just was not a fun show. I'm sorry to say. It was a very dull episode of Dynamite tonight. And that is with an MJF match to open the show and a Bryan Danielson match to close the show. They bookended with two of their biggest stars. Two men who are in the two biggest matches coming up at Wembley Stadium at the end of this month. But you take those two matches, you take those two guys away, and you've got Rampage. That's what this show was tonight. 2 weeks before their biggest show of the year, this is not what we should be getting here. The energy just wasn't here. The energy that this show needed just wasn't there tonight. This is your AEW Dynamite review. It is Wednesday, August 7th, 2024. I am the Solemn Monster. Like and subscribe. Super chats are open. If we get enough likes, we will do our Be the Booker segment later on. I might be able to book a better show than this one tonight. So go ahead and get those likes on in. Let's take it back to the very beginning here and just go, you know, step by step through what we had on this show. I don't think this is going to be a terribly long review. I have a feeling I'm going to get you guys out of here pretty quick. But he made it to the building. MJF, as I said, he was going one-on-one tonight with Kyle Fletcher in an eliminator match for MJF's American Championship. Don Callis was on commentary because, of course, Kyle Fletcher is part of the Callis family. And he called Kyle Fletcher at one point here on commentary. He called Kyle Fletcher a future world champion. I don't know about that. Maybe a future world tag team champion once Mark Davis comes back. Feels like Mark Davis has been gone for a very long time. I would have expected him back by now. It's a weird thing, too, because Kyle Fletcher has been getting a little bit of a singles push. And when Mark Davis comes back, it's just right back to Aussie Open, I guess. I mean, what do you do? You know, do you want to give him a singles run or not? Because, yeah, you know, the couple of segments he's had the last couple of weeks here on this show, he has shined. That promo last week that he cut on MJF, I thought was very good in the match tonight. Was very good as well. So I just assume that when Davis is back, it's right back to Aussie Open and they will be chasing after those tag team titles. These two had a long match. They went almost 20 minutes to open the show. It was a very good match. Best thing on the entire show. MJF tried to tombstone him from the middle rope. Fletcher wiggled free. MJF tried for a plain view sunset. Fletcher, though, fell forward into a pin, almost got him. Callis ended up leaving the announce desk, which was up on stage. You know, sometimes it's at ringside like it is, I think, for a collision. But it's up on the stage. And so Don Callis makes his way all the way down to the ring, and he took the referee for the distraction after throwing the screwdriver into the ring to Kyle Fletcher. So the referee now is distracted. Paul Turner, his back is turned. And Fletcher grabs the screwdriver. And he thinks about it, and he teases the idea that he's actually going to use it. But then he has a crisis of conscience, and he's deciding, well, maybe I shouldn't. He's going back and forth. He hesitates. You know the expression, he who hesitates. And he throws the screwdriver away. Will none of these baby faces ever learn from the mistake made by Rowdy Roddy Piper in the ring with Bret Hart? Evidently not. Kyle Fletcher certainly didn't, learn this lesson. As soon as he threw the screwdriver away and he took a few steps towards MJF, what happens? MJF kicks him in the balls. Of course, the referee didn't see it because the referee's back is turned. And then he followed that with a kangaroo kick. Man, he kicked the fuck out of this guy. Knocked him backwards into the corner and then followed up with a brainbuster for the win. They cut to the back where Will Ospreay, as soon as this match ends, we see Will Ospreay in the back and it appears as though he is trying to exit, I guess, his locker room, some kind of room in the back. And the door is blocked. It's not locked, but it's blocked. That rhymes. By a bunch of equipment cases. So he pushes through and he exits the room and he goes running down the hallway, presumably to, you know, make his way down to the ring. Meanwhile, in the ring, MJF takes his American title and he decks Paul Turner with it. So down goes the referee. That's going to be another 2-week suspension, I guess, doled out by the disciplinary committee. They're being kept very busy of late. So then he places the Dynamite Diamond ring on his finger. He blasts Kyle Fletcher in the head with it, which busts him open. MJF starts shouting he's going to do to Ospreay, or he's going to do what Ospreay did not have the balls to do. And he sets him up for the Tiger Driver 91. But as he begins to set him up for the Tiger Driver, Will Ospreay makes his way down to the ring. He sprints down, and MJF bails into the crowd. Ospreay then, he crouches down and he begins to cradle Kyle Fletcher's head in his hands, like a dead body. Okay, Kyle Fletcher, again, he's got the bloody forehead. He makes sure that he presses his forehead up against his white shirt. Got to smear that blood all over the shirt. Anytime anybody comes out with a white shirt, Young Bucks have done that before. You've got to imagine that. Maybe they're going for the added effect. If someone is bleeding and somebody is out there in a white shirt, they're going to get blood on that shirt. So now he's got Kyle's blood smeared all over his shirt. He's yelling at Doc Samson outside, come on in here and check on Kyle. And the doctor comes in. This was a little overdramatic. Now, if MJF had hit the Tiger Driver, which they have really put over as this devastating maneuver, you could break somebody's neck with it, then I can understand. You know, he hits the Tiger Driver and now he's not moving. Oh my God, Doc, come on in here, right? He can't move. He can't feel his fingers. Then I can understand it. He didn't even hit the Tiger Driver, though. Again, I'm so desensitized to everybody in this company bleeding on every show. We had Jeff Jarrett bleeding in the main event, although that was clearly the hard way and it was after the match. But every single week, we got people bleeding all over this show. So, you know, the fact that he got busted open in the head, it's like, who cares? It was like Rocky and Apollo Creed in the movie. Like, a little overdramatic here, I thought. You would think this man was shot by an assassin's bullet. Callis was in the ring questioning where Ospreay was for his friend. So MJF followed through on his promise to make Fletcher bleed, and we got another hint of the unease between Will Ospreay and Don Callis. I'm not sure if Don Callis is going to cost Will Ospreay his match at Wembley Stadium, but I'm thinking there's a pretty good chance that Don Callis may cost Will Ospreay his match at Wembley Stadium, which would be a bold move to go in there and beat Will Ospreay in Wembley Stadium, but you can't discount the possibility that that's exactly the way it could go down. And if Daniel Garcia is going to end up re-signing and they're going to go into MJF and Garcia, maybe they want it to be for the championship. So it's not a foregone conclusion that Will Ospreay is going to be walking out of Wembley with the international title back around his waist. Don Callis is going to factor into this in some way. There's a turn coming in here. You know, he hasn't flat out, you know, turned on Ospreay and gotten his revenge on him for leaving the family, but you know it's coming. So why not hit him at the one moment that is most important to him? Why not hit him then, right? It would only make sense. We had Mariah May against Viva Van. Mariah May should not have needed 6 minutes and a commercial break to beat Viva Van on this show. This should have been over and accomplished in 90 seconds or less. If ever there was a time for a short women's match, this was it. I don't know why this had to go 6 minutes unless they were making up for a segment they couldn't do because people couldn't be at the show because of the weather. I don't know, but this went longer than it needed to. And again, Mariah won with Toni Storm's Storm Zero finish. After the match, Mariah was handed a gift. She was handed a giant wrapped poster. And she unwraps it to show a picture of Toni Storm, big blown up picture, Toni cradling Mariah back in happier times. On the back of it, she flips it around, and the writing on the back of the poster says, "Die, Mariah, die." And at that point, we see timeless Toni Storm. She appeared behind Mariah. We had big fight, big pull-apart brawl between the two women again. Storm tried stabbing Mariah with the high heel shoe that Mariah brought out to the ring with her, but Aubrey Edwards put a stop to it. Referees and security, they got in the ring to try to separate the two of them. Mariah May broke free, and so they ended up brawling again. And Toni, after Mariah left the ring, Toni walked around the ring with the sign held up high in the air that said, "Die, Mariah, die." Now, while I may not have been overly enthusiastic about this show tonight, or even necessarily, certainly not the match. The match was, it was what it was. This is the hottest women's feud in the history of AEW. May not have felt like it tonight, although I'll tell you what, though, the pull-apart brawl got a lot of heat. It got a big reaction, and it was fine as far as pull-apart brawls go, but this is the best and the hottest women's feud in the history of this company, and it has been playing out. I mean, the turn only happened a matter of weeks ago, but obviously the story has been playing out over a period of many, many, many months, and now we're finally going to get the payoff at Wembley Stadium. Both women are probably going to bleed, not only Mariah for what she did, but both women I expect to bleed. And honestly, if there was a match on that Wembley card that really warranted some sort of no-holds-barred stipulation, this is it right here. Like, if you could only pick one, this is the one. I don't know if they're going to add a stipulation to it or not, but this is the mother of all grudge matches here now going into this show, and if they were going to do it, I think it would be appropriate to add it to this match. Then, This was something else here. We got what I am assuming was a fuck-up on the part of TBS. They started airing a Jack Perry promo, Jack Perry video, of him sitting down. He's watching a bunch of like monitors. He's in a room somewhere. And he's watching back video of Darby Allin pouring gasoline on him while he was handcuffed to the cage in blood and guts. And Mark Briscoe blasting him in the head with that unprotected chair shot that everybody talked about. Perry said that everything in life has a price, but the question is how much are you willing to sacrifice for it? All of a sudden, they immediately, like a very abrupt cutaway, to a Taco Bell commercial. And so the Taco Bell commercial plays. When the ad is over, they cut back to the promo, which is starting from the beginning. And the promo, I don't even know if it aired for a full 3 seconds before we went to black. We had a black screen for another 3 or 4 seconds. And then they just re-aired the same Taco Bell commercial that they had played previously. So I guess, I mean, my takeaway from this is I guess that Jack Perry is willing to sacrifice for that beefy five-layer burrito. He says he's willing to make the ultimate sacrifice here. There's a price that has to be paid. Yes, that price is $4.99. And he is willing to pay that price. Now, I've not had a five-layer burrito. I feel like if I had a... I'm not in the mood for a two-layer burrito. I'm not a burrito guy. I don't think that would be a good night for me if I was. But evidently that's what I guess he was willing to sacrifice for, either that or the Chalupa Supreme. I've had neither one of those, so I can't vouch for either one, how good they are, but I'll leave that up to you guys. Now, after the break, Darby Allin was backstage. He said that he doesn't remember the last time Jack Perry was even on TNT, and yet he is the TNT champion. And he said, you know what, it doesn't matter. Perry doesn't have to show up this Friday when Darby wrestles on Rampage. He doesn't have to show up on Collision. But where he does have to show up is at Wembley Stadium for All In, which, of course, is where they will be having their TNT championship match. Maze, is that true? Maze says, I work at Taco Bell. Have you had the Chalupa Supreme? Do you recommend it? I'm not even sure what's in that. So maybe you can enlighten us. Solo is not a burrito fan. I'm sure the burrito has cheese in it. So yes, I'm not interested. I'm not interested in a burrito. I'm not interested in a taco. I'm not interested in anything that may possibly secretly have any kind of cheese in it. So, because I just can't have it. We had Katsuyori Shibata against Brian Keith. I thought I was watching Collision here. This brought out the learning tree, Chris Jericho, and Big William to sit in on commentary. Jericho celebrated the fact that the EVPs again kicked Taz out so that he could safely come out to sit with them on commentary. This was Brian Keith's first match on Dynamite since coming back from his broken orbital bone. For those who don't know, he had a broken orbital bone, which was a very legitimate injury. Now, if you remember, he was on TV for a while in a sling. That was a storyline injury to cover for the legitimate injury that he had. And this was not his first match back, but this was his first match on Dynamite since coming back. Jericho, early in this match on commentary, name-dropped Dave Meltzer, and at that point, I just tuned him out. I have no idea what he said. I heard the screeching voice, that very screeching, shrill kind of voice. I was just not paying attention to the actual words that were coming out of his mouth, so I can't tell you what he said. Once he said Dave Meltzer, I was like, all right, that's it. I'm done. I mean, this whole gimmick is just insufferable to begin with. But no, I was not in the mood to be listening to Dave Meltzer remarks on Dynamite tonight. The only reason this match was even on this show was to set up for what came after the match. The match itself had no business being on the show. It just set up the post-match angle. Shibata applied the claw, as taught to him recently by the Von Erichs, and then he transitioned into the cross arm breaker for the submission win. Jericho and Big Bill, they attacked Shibata after the bell, and they were about to nail him with the FTW title when Hook returned, and he cleared the ring of Bill and Keith and slugged it out with Jericho before Bill pulled Jericho out of the ring to safety. So the only question now is, are we getting Jericho and Hook for the FTW title at Wembley Stadium, which we should? Or are they setting up for a trios match? If maybe Samoa Joe might be able to come back for one match, because I think they're still filming for a couple more months, the new season of Twisted Metal. That's why he disappeared. Can they pull him away from that to do a match? They do a trios match and then save the FTW title match for All Out. Because let's not forget, they have another pay-per-view 2 weeks later. They have to come up with a card for that show. And there's any number of matches they could do on that show. We don't know who the world champion is going to be coming out of Wembley. Are they going to defend on that show? My guess would be probably not. We already know Darby Allin is getting a world championship match at Grand Slam on the 25th, I believe, of September. Are they going to have Wembley the title defended, Chicago the title defended, and New York the title defended? I don't know. I don't recall there being an AEW world title match at All Out last year. I think they headlined with the international title, if I remember. I think it was Moxley and Orange Cassidy. But they do have a pay-per-view 2 weeks later. They could maybe save the match for there. I hope not. Just get this over with. I mean, they're trying to use this as a way to get Hook over even more. And obviously, at the end of all this, Hook is going to beat Jericho. Jericho's going to put him over. How much more over Hook will be when this feud is done as compared to how over he was before? I don't think he's going to be radically that much more over. And the story to watch for is, we heard this a few months ago, supposedly, that Hook, his contract, we hear a lot about AEW talent contracts lately. There's rumors going around about the Lucha Bros. Their contracts aren't up, I think, until later this fall. But there's rumors about them potentially leaving to go to WWE. Ricky Starks is being held off of television. One can only surmise because he's already got one foot out the door. Daniel Garcia, he's, you know, in the process of making a decision about what he wants to do. And there could be others. But there was a rumor going around a while back about Hook and that he was possibly interested in exploring free agency, testing the free agent waters, which, you know, if he has a contract coming up, that's the smart thing to do. You know, I think, a bright young star. He could potentially be something big one day, right? We don't know. We've only seen him in limited doses, but certainly he was able to get over in front of this audience in a big way there for a while. He's not as over, I feel like, now as he was at one time. He might be somebody, frankly, who would benefit from that PC system, going over there and, you know, getting some more fine-tuning and working with the people over there. Is that something he wants to do? Is that something Taz wants him to do? Or is he content to stay with AEW, you know, which is where he got his first big push? But if you have a contract coming up and you're someone like Hook, very young, but probably would be sought after, you know what? Get that bag, man. Get that money. See what interest there is out there and then make your decision. Unless Tony Khan hits him with an offer that he just can't refuse. So I don't know when his contract is up. I haven't heard anything new about Hook of late, but who even knows what the future holds for him in this company. Renee was backstage with Orange Cassidy, and he is set to have a rematch tonight, we were told, with Roderick Strong, Roosh, and the Beast Mortos, but his partners were not able to make it due to the storm. Cassidy said he's still going to wrestle tonight. He's got a couple of local boys who will be teaming with him. After a break, Renee was again in the back, this time with Hangman Adam Page. She brought up Hangman not getting the outcomes that he's been looking for since coming back to AEW. Page said that there's been one man who has taken everything from, or that he's wanted to take everything from, leaving him with nothing but the ash of his pride. I don't know why I wrote ass here in my notes, but that we'll go with it. The ass of his pride. He said, justice delayed is justice denied, but believe him, he will have what he wants. And then he walked off, and that was the last we saw of Hangman Page. For all I know, they could have filmed this last week. Imagine flying in the middle of a storm for that, and that's all they have you do for the entire night. What a waste. It's like, I saw Jonathan Coachman, I don't know, I guess he did some podcast just recently, and he was commenting about one time, you know, when he was working for WWE, he had flown home for Christmas Eve. I guess he lives in Kansas, or he did at the time, his family was there. And he got a call from Vince McMahon saying, I need you in Connecticut, pal. Got to film something. Because he said Vince wanted to get out of there so he can go be with his family in Florida for the holidays. So, and I didn't hear the rest of the story. I assume Coach had to fly back to Connecticut to go film whatever this fucking segment was. Because Vince McMahon needed this one thing done because he wanted to go to Florida to be with his family. By the way, fuck Vince McMahon. Not that I have any love for the coach either, some of the dumb shit he said, but fuck Vince McMahon. Anyway, I'm sure that would have been annoying, though, to have to fly in for that one thing. We got a sit-down interview conducted by Jim Ross earlier in the day with the AEW World Champion Swerve Strickland. This is usually a very good use of Jim Ross and his skills. Traditionally, we've seen him do these types of interviews in the past. I mean, you can go way back, you know, in WWE when he did it with Mankind and he did something similar with Rock and Austin. He thrives in that type of kind of sit-down environment. And I think, frankly, typically it would be the best use of JR in AEW, or it used to be. It needs to be said. I thought that this was very sad to see. I know that Jim Ross has been dealt a lot of bad hands as far as his health this year. He's been in and out of the hospital for a couple of different issues over the last several months. I believe the first time it was some form of pneumonia, and he was pretty sick there for a while. And then I want to say he fell. Something else happened, and I think he was back in the hospital. I think he broke his wrist or needed wrist surgery. Something happened. So he's had a rough go of it this year. I have never in my life seeing Jim Ross looking and sounding this frail ever. He did not look good. Well, he looked like he lost a lot of weight. And I have to assume it has to do with his health issues and being in the hospital recently, but he clearly has lost some weight. But he just looked very weak. His voice sounded very weak. He sounded off. It didn't sound like him. And we just had him on commentary. Was it Forbidden Door, I think, in the main event? And he sounded like, all right, JR's back on his A game. Like, so he has his moments where when he's feeling good and he's feeling up to it, maybe he's got, you know, a woo energy or something. He'll have his moments, but it was just sad. It broke my heart, honestly, to see him like that here in this interview. But JR said that he's excited about what he's going to see it all in and worried the fans don't realize what they might miss if they do not see the main event. So the main event, of course, as we know, is Swerve and Bryan Danielson. He wonders if it motivates Swerve. Swerve says that he is beyond motivated from tagging with and going against legends and losing at All In last year. That was when he tagged with Christian against Sting and Darby. I think that was the casket match, I believe. Going from that to headlining this year means the world to him. And JR brought up his controversial actions in the past. Does he feel any sense of remorse for what he's done? Swerve said he had to make some noise. If you make enough noise, people will listen. Swerve says that people are underestimating how violent this match is going to be. Jim Ross says that Danielson is talking like this is it. He's fighting like this is going to be his last match. Swerve brings up his legacy. Who is he without any of this? He needs something to fight for, and without it, who is he? If he was in Brian's position, would anybody give a damn about him? Swerve is in the driver's seat. He controls this company now. This is what worries people. He says it should worry him because he doesn't care about Brian being a father. He doesn't care about him being a husband. What if the nerves, you know, like in his arm, just stop working during the match? What if his neck seizes up on him? What do you do when none of that works? Swerve says that he will beat Brian at Wembley and his legacy will belong to him. What a statement win it would be for Swerve Strickland to go in there at Wembley Stadium in front of 50,000 people and beat Bryan Danielson in the main event of their biggest show of the year and maybe their second, well, it will be. I mean, it's not going to beat last year, but it'll be their second biggest show in the history of the company. That would be a big feather in his cap coming off of the biggest win of his career over Will Ospreay at Forbidden Door and leading Team AEW to victory in Blood and Guts. If he was to go in there in 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, and beat Bryan Danielson, pin Bryan Danielson in the main event at Wembley. But it doesn't feel that way to me. It just feels like Tony Khan is setting up for Bryan to get his big moment. He is setting up for the happy moment. He is setting up for Bryan to win the title that he has never held before. Before he hangs it up. And that is the AEW World Championship. That's what it feels like to me. And you saw it even at the end of the show when Swerve cut a promo on him. I'm not saying that Swerve is meant to be the heel in this. Swerve is just being himself. You know, he's being Swerve. But he came off very heelish in that promo. You know, the things that he's saying about Bryan Danielson, some people don't like that because they like Bryan. It's not even that they hate Swerve, but Bryan is a big baby face. He's a very likable guy. He's been around for a very long time, and now people know that his career is winding down, and so he's going to get the sympathy factor. They've been playing up his injuries. It's part of the story, and I think that's what Tony Khan is setting up for. He's setting up for the big moment for Danielson, and Swerve's run is very likely going to come to an end. Hopefully his first of more than one run, because I think if Swerve does lose at Wembley, I don't think it'll be that long before he gets that belt back. Bliss fan, yes, I know. Becoming a part-timer, he says, is not retiring, but that's the story they're telling, that it's title against career. If he loses at Wembley Stadium, he is retired. That's the story. That's not retiring part-time. I'm just saying that's the story they're telling. If he wins the championship, he's not retired, but we're not going to see him as often. You know, we're not getting that full-time or kind of close to full-time version of Bryan Danielson that we are getting right now. That's the difference there. So we had FTR. They turned out to be Orange Cassidy's local boys. They were his partners in a win over Roderick Strong, Roosh, and the Beast Mortos. For the finish, Roosh took out Cash Wheeler. Cassidy appeared and hit the beach break. But Roosh kicked out at one, and the match broke down. Mortos took out Wheeler with a tope. Cassidy, though, ducked the charging Mortos, who leapt over the barricade and took out Matt Taven and Mike Bennett, who were out there in Roddy's corner. Roosh was about to hit the bull's horns, the Dax Harwood, but Cassidy was there with an orange punch. Roosh fought off FTR, but ate another orange punch. And then he got nailed with the Shatter Machine, and FTR and Orange Cassidy pick up the win. Roosh got to kick out of the beach break at one. So, I mean, they tried to make him look strong there at the finish. I'm not sure why he had to take the loss and Roderick Strong couldn't. I mean, you're not going to beat Mortos because Mortos just got a win in a trios match last week over the Ring of Honor World Champion, Mark Briscoe, for what I assume is going to end up being an ROH TV match at some point for the belt. So you're not going to beat him. But, you know, if it were me, I would have had Roddy take the L here, not Roosh. After the match, the Acclaimed came out. Max Caster's microphone was not working. You combine this with the Taco Bell snafu earlier, and it was just one of those nights. It was just one of those nights. Dax Harwood said that he respects what Caster and Bowens have done for AEW, but this goes beyond AEW. Security came out, stood in front of the Acclaimed. Harwood said he's not as good on the microphone as the Acclaimed. Told them to break through the wall and fight. So we got another pull-apart brawl here on this show. If you don't follow Collision, and I know many of you do not, I barely do, but if you don't follow Collision, the issue with the Acclaimed and FTR probably went right over your head because that story has, for the most part, I think, been playing out on Collision week to week. So, you know, again, I don't know that there were, and certainly based on the reaction from a lot of the people in the crowd, it didn't sound as if they necessarily were, you know, hip to all of the recent happenings involving these two teams. You know, because it hasn't been playing out on Wednesdays. There are people who will only watch Dynamite. There might be people who only watch Collision, right? And then you have people who watch both, but not everybody does. So this kind of fell flat. Excalibur did mention one thing on commentary, though. He said during the match that Tony Khan has added a new match to the card at Wembley. He has added a casino gauntlet match with the winner winning a future shot at the AEW World Championship. Now, we just had a Royal Rampage match 2 weeks ago that Darby Allin won to win a future shot at the AEW World Championship, and he is getting that match at Grand Slam at the end of September. Now, they did not say when this person would get their championship match, but how are you going to announce something like this when you already have somebody waiting in queue who's not even getting their world title match for another, you know, basically month and a half? Now we have another match for a shot, another shot at the AEW World Championship. Darby hasn't even gotten his yet. Because there's going to be a long line backed up of people waiting for their title shot. But I don't know who's going to be in the match. They may not even bother announcing most of the names that are going to be in there. They like throwing the surprises in there. That could be where we see Ricochet for the first time, if Ricochet signs with AEW. My guess is, not knowing if he's going to potentially be inserted into a different match on the show, that is going to be a victory for Hangman Adam Page. That should be a win for Hangman Adam Page. And that way he can bank his match for later on, say, Full Gear, right? Wrestle Dream or Full Gear. Because the way I look at it is, if Bryan Danielson is going to win the world title at Wembley from Swerve, he can have about a month or so as champion, right? So that way Tony Khan can say, Bryan Danielson is our champion, and he'll be in the record books as a former AEW world champion. And then we'll get Bryan and Darby a Grand Slam, which is a match we've never seen before. It actually would be a match I'm interested in seeing. So he'll at least get that one successful title defense under his belt. You run back Bryan and Swerve again at WrestleDream. They're going to be out in the Pacific Northwest. They're going to be in Tacoma. Tacoma, I mean, Bryan is from Aberdeen, which is not that far. And Tacoma is where Swerve is from. So you rematch them on that show, probably in front of a hot crowd. Swerve wins the belt back, beats Danielson, puts him in the dirt. And that WrestleDream match in Washington can be Danielson's kind of send-off for the time being as a full-time performer. Meanwhile, Hangman wins the Casino Gauntlet match at Wembley, and so he has a world championship match that he could effectively cash in for Full Gear. Full Gear being the one-year anniversary of their Texas Death Match. So as I begin to think and the gears start going in my brain, that's sort of how I see things potentially playing out. But Hangman's got to be the early favorite for that gauntlet match. Footage aired of the Patriarchy being attacked by the House of Black and the Bang Bang Gang on Collision last week. The Patriarchy were backstage tonight. Christian Cage said that both of those teams are looking for shots at their trios titles. So this week on Collision, it's going to be a number one contenders match with the winners facing the Patriarchy at All In. There was a rumor going around that the Lucha Bros would have been inserted into that match as well. Now it appears that may not be happening. But Christian said he will be the special referee for that number one contenders match. Christian, Nick Wayne, and Mother Wayne were all wearing trios titles. They were all holding the trios titles over their shoulders here. Luchasaurus was the only one who stood beltless, which made for a funny visual. By the way, again, for those who don't know, Luchasaurus suffered a torn bicep not that long ago, a few weeks ago. That was the report, and so he's not doing any wrestling at the moment, but he can stand on TV and just kind of look mean and go, you know, I'm a dinosaur, right? He doesn't have to do much. I think he is hurt, though. But it was just a funny visual that you have Nick Wayne and his mom standing there with the tag team titles. It looked like Nick Wayne and his mother were the tag team champions. To which I say, Judy Bagwell was a WCW tag team champion. And if Judy Bagwell can be a tag team champion, then you know what? So too can Mother Wayne. It's fine with me. They did a two-on-one handicap match. One of those nights. Two-on-one handicap match with Camille killing two women at once while Mercedes Moné sat on the steps outside and admired her work. Spinning sit-out torture rack bomb on one of the women. Sit-out dominator to the other one for the win. Mercedes gets into the ring to join her after. And as she spoke, the crowd was completely dead. She did her CEO thing and she's talking and nobody cared. Nobody cared. She said Britt Baker is not there again this week and she thanked the EVPs for making that happen. At which point, Tony Schiavone got up and appeared on the stage and said that he was just informed by Christopher Daniels that Tony Khan... This is so ridiculous. I'm hearing from Christopher Daniels that Tony Khan, who's always in my ear anyway, and I don't know why Tony wouldn't be in my ear now to tell me this himself, but I got Christopher Daniels in this ear. And he's telling me that Tony Khan has informed him that he has lifted Britt Baker's suspension. He has unsuspended Britt Baker. Finally, why couldn't he do that last week? Why did it take him a week? Tony Khan could have overruled them right there on day one. So finally, he got around to overruling the EVPs. But here, that's not even the kicker here to this segment. He announces that Tony Khan has overturned Britt Baker's suspension, and the crowd starts to cheer. You get like the crowd reacted to that. And they were excited because they figured Britt Baker is about to come out. Only she did not come out, and Tony Schiavone instead said, well, he threw it to the big screen via satellite. We have Britt Baker, and the people booed. Who thought that was a good idea to set things up in that sequence like that, where you have Tony Schiavone stand up and go, guess what? Tony Khan has unsuspended Britt Baker. He's lifted the suspension and everybody cheers. And they naturally assume that she must be there because she was obviously informed in advance that she was unsuspended and she traveled to North Carolina and she's here tonight. But no, he throws it to a video and they boo. Like, who the fuck came up with that idea? What a dumb idea. So there she is now. She's up on the big screen. She said that Mercedes can get her suspended all she wants to, but she can't run come All In. Baker said that when she makes a commitment to something, she sees it through to the very end, unlike Monet, who takes her ball and goes home whenever things do not go her way. AEW is the flavor of the month to her, she says, but to Baker, it's home. And now she says that Mercedes has 7 days to wonder how Britt is going to come up with a way to get back at her. She says, and Mercedes can trust her because she's a doctor. And then she did her DMD line. Everybody said DMD. So at least the fans responded to Britt's promo. I actually thought Britt's promo was good. It's a good promo from Britt Baker here. But these people were ice cold for the TBS champion. It was very noticeable here. Now, before people start assuming that, oh, well, the Britt Baker suspension must have been a storyline. It must have been fake. I guess she was never really suspended. The storyline was that she was suspended by the EVPs to cover for the real suspension. There was a real suspension, but it was only about 2 weeks. She was never going to be gone until Wembley. That's why I talked about this on the podcast, and I said if she really did something worthy of being punished, and there's these reports out there that this is not the first time, and there's been other issues with Britt Baker, and they really want to punish her, I don't understand what the fuck a two-week suspension is going to accomplish. You know, especially when in the middle of that suspension, there she was with her boss on the panel at Comic-Con shooting an angle for one of the top matches at Wembley at the end of this month. So that just sounds like window dressing more than anything else. The suspension now is over. The real suspension is over. And she'll be back on TV next week. But that was a very real issue involving her and MJF. I don't need to get into all the details again, but that took place a few weeks ago. There was an investigation. She was suspended. Around and around we go with the All Elite drama. Not the first time. Sure as hell won't be the last time, I'm sure. This week's episode is sponsored by ExpressVPN. When you check a bag at the airport, I'm sure most of you put a lock on your bag. Those of you who don't, you really need to start. Because you never know when some creepy dude may rummage through your personal belongings. Even some of those TSA agents, I don't trust them. Going online without ExpressVPN is basically the same thing. You wouldn't want people going through your private data either. So the best thing you can do is protect yourself. Your internet service provider knows every single website that you visit. And in the U.S., ISPs are legally allowed to sell that information to advertisers. It's crazy. ExpressVPN reroutes 100% of your traffic through secure encrypted servers so your ISP can't see your browsing history. Now that I like. You want to know why ExpressVPN is the best VPN? Here's why. It hides your IP address. That makes it nearly impossible for third parties to track your online activity. It's also easy to use. You just fire up the app and click one button to get protected. And it's rated number one by top tech reviewers like CNET and The Verge. When I use ExpressVPN, it's not to stay private every now and then. It's whenever I'm doing anything important. So I could be paying bills, submitting documents. I had to scan in my driver's license not too long ago for something. I had documentation that had my social security number on it. You know, stuff that I don't want falling into the wrong hands. The least I can do is push a button and protect myself from prying eyes. That's why it's important for me to be able to use the app. Protect your online privacy today by visiting expressvpn.com/solomonster. That's expressvpn.com/solomonster, and you can get an extra 3 months free. expressvpn.com/solomonster. The main event of this show was Bryan Danielson against Jeff Jarrett in an Anything Goes match with Ricky the Dragon Steamboat as the special guest. He joined on comedy. I don't know why people were going around. I saw in the people tweeting about the show about how he's going to be the referee. I don't know where people got that from. I don't recall them ever announcing him as the special guest referee. They said he was going to be the special guest. That's what he was, and he came out and he sat on commentary. Ricky has made a few AEW appearances. This is not, you know, his first rodeo here with this company. He was present earlier this year in Greensboro for Sting's retirement at Revolution. He officiated the match, or a match, between CM Punk and Ricky Starks. Even took some big bumps for Ricky. Remember they had some creative written for that where I think Ricky was going to, I got to specify which Ricky I'm talking about. Ricky Steamboat was going to lay out Ricky Starks, and Steamboat was the one who said, this doesn't make any sense. You're trying to get heat on this young man over here, not me. I'm the old guy. So he actually changed Tony Khan's creative because it didn't make any fucking sense. And Ricky Steamboat put together a better angle than Tony Khan did. So he was there for that. And he was there also for the Bryan Danielson match with Ricky when they had a strap match. After Punk was bounced out of the company, Bryan took his place. And Steamboat was involved in that match as well. So here he was back tonight. But I will say now, looking back at what they did here with him, you know, they advertised him a week in advance that Ricky Steamboat was going to be on the show, in whatever capacity, that he was going to be on this show. Here's what I don't understand, looking back at it now. I'm not sure what the point of him being there even was. Now, I'm not complaining that we got a Ricky Steamboat appearance. I like seeing Steamboat, right? He still looks to be in good shape. He's always in good spirits. Unlike other legends that are his age, he can actually get in the ring and bend down and take bumps. So, you know, Ricky's taking good care of himself. We had that health scare many years ago when he was taking bumps in WWE and he ended up with a fucking brain aneurysm when the Nexus beat him, almost beat him to death. Thankfully, he was able to recover from that. So I don't mind seeing Ricky Steamboat, but I'm just wondering, like, it wasn't like, oh, by the way, guess who's here tonight in North Carolina? It's Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. He's sitting in the front row, or he's going to sit in on commentary tonight. Like, they promoted it in advance. He was in the graphic for the main event, which led you to believe that he was going to have some involvement in this. Like, they were going to shoot an angle, or maybe he would end up being the referee, possibly. Like, he would have some level of involvement in this. Nope. He just sat in on commentary and, you know, gave his analysis, and that was it. So that was very strange. I don't know why they would have had him in the graphic for this match if, you know, that's all he was going to do. But you had Jeff Jarrett here in the main event. And, you know, with Jarrett, he gave you all that he could give you. He's slower, right? He's not fleet of foot. He was never fleet of foot. But, you know, he's slower than he used to be, obviously. Outside of that, I thought he looked fine. I don't need to see him main eventing Dynamite in 2024. But at least here in this case, for the story they were telling of him recently trying to motivate Bryan, he felt like Bryan was making excuses for his health and why he might lose at Wembley. And we know how important the Owen Hart tournament was to him. He was in it. He didn't win. Bryan did. And so the idea is he doesn't want Bryan to start making excuses. He wants him to go in there and to win. So that way, his victory in the Owen means something. It's not just wasted. And that's the story they're telling here. He's trying to really fire up Danielson. Danielson came back at him last week and said, I'll show you. You and me in the ring next week. And that's what led to this match here. So there's a story reason for this match to be taking place, at least. So at least you can't say it didn't serve a purpose. I might not have any interest and desire in seeing Jeff Jarrett in the main event of any wrestling show at this point, but you can't say that it didn't serve a purpose. Jarrett attacked Danielson on stage as Danielson was in the middle of making his entrance, hit him right across the back with his guitar. And we were off to the races at that point. Jarrett smacked Danielson with a chair. They brawled into the crowd. They continued to fight up the steps into the concession area. So you had the fans surrounding them. It was like a wild scene. They showed Swerve Strickland and Prince Nana. They were in the back. And they were watching the match. Back at ringside after the commercial break, Danielson hit a dive. He set Jarrett up against the barricade and then got a running start and got just enough of a running drop kick. It almost looked like Jarrett was trying to get out of the way. But he kind of clipped him anyway, so I don't know if that was the intent or not, but he got enough of him to connect on the dropkick. Danielson tried a running knee off the apron. Jarrett, though, chucked a chair right at his leg, and Jarrett wanted to Pillmanize the leg. Took too long, though. Danielson ended up swinging for the fences with a chair shot, followed by a spider superplex. Danielson flew off the top with a missile dropkick, fired off some yes kicks. Jarrett swept the leg, got the figure four leg lock applied. Danielson, though, reaches up. There's a chair there, and he grabs the chair, and he proceeds to smack Jarrett in the legs with the chair a few times to break the hold. That's one way to break a figure four leg lock. Just whack the other guy in the kneecap a few times with a steel chair. That'll get him to let go. Jarrett, though, ended up hitting the stroke on the chair. Got a close two count out of it. Jarrett applied a sharpshooter. Danielson, though, countered into the lapel lock. Jarrett broke the grip, wanted another stroke. Danielson countered with a chair-assisted Busaiku knee and got the pinfall to defeat Jeff Jarrett. Jay Lethal, Sanjay Dutt, Karen Jarrett, they came to the ring to tend to Double J, who had blood dripping from under his chin, and it was going all over his neck, like down his neck. Because it looked like he must have gotten nicked by the chair. I'm assuming it was on the chair when Brian did the running knee. So he got him like right under the chin. And so blood was going down his neck there. Wheeler Yuta came into the ring to check on Danielson. Steamboat made his way down to the ring as well, checking on Danielson. And he helped Jarrett up to his feet, raised both men's hands. And then Jarrett shook Danielson's hand and they hugged. So I guess that was the whole point of Ricky Steamboat being there. So he could hold up their hands at the end of the main event. Very good. I don't know if Steamboat still lives in North Carolina. I'm assuming he might. So maybe for him it was a short trip to the show. But in any event, you know, always good to see Ricky. Swerve Strickland's music hit. He and Prince Nana made their way to the ring. Swerve said that they just witnessed three legends. The fans did, before their very eyes. Jeff Jarrett, Ricky Steamboat, and now Swerve Strickland. And I thought that was a good line. All men, he said, who have defined wrestling on this network. Strickland calls Danielson one of the greatest of all time, which is why it'll be such an honor to retire him at All In, as he will not hesitate to take that kill shot. Strickland questioned if Danielson's body is struggling. He's asking him, how you feeling? How your legs feeling? Little wobbly? How's your neck feeling? How's the arm feeling? And he said, your body is struggling to hold up against Jeff Jarrett. Imagine what's going to happen when you're in there with me. Swerve said, you know what? You got a warm-up match here. I want one too. So how about this? Next week on Dynamite, it's going to be me and Wheeler Yuta. And Yuta got up in his face, Swerve ignored him, and said, I had to sit in the back tonight to watch your match, but next week I want you to be at ringside. I want you to have a ringside seat so that you can see why I am the most dangerous man in AEW. So it was a good ending to the show. It was bookended by the only two things that really mattered. I mean, let's be honest. The MJF match with Kyle Fletcher was the best match on the show. And the closing segment with Danielson and Jarrett was fun for what it was. Swerve came out, you know, cut a good promo there at the end. And that's how they went off the air. Everything in the middle, like, you know, the Tony Storm Mariah May thing was fine. You know, we already had that once before, the pull apart brawl. It was just sort of like just a retread of what they already did. The Orange Cassidy match, it was just there. You know, everybody was hitting big moves and it was there, but what purpose did it really serve? Not much of one. Camille got another squash. That's fine. Nothing wrong with it. But again, hardly makes for an entertaining show when you, and there was another one here. The other thing I wanted to include in that, forgot what it was. Where is it? Where was the other thing? Oh, the Jericho thing. See, I tried to block it out of my fucking head. I was like, what was that thing I was thinking of that they had on the show that I didn't give a shit about? Ah, yes, the Jericho match. Yeah, so again, just a lot of segments on the show that just didn't really matter to me. I didn't care for it. I didn't give a shit. The MJF match, the Danielson match, if you didn't see the show, go check that out. That's all you really need to worry about. But we are 2 weeks now, 2.5 weeks away from their biggest show of the year. There should be a bigger energy now heading into this show. On paper, they've got some very strong matches set up for Wembley. You've got Danielson and Swerve. You've got MJF and Ospreay. You've got Britt Baker and Mercedes. And you've got Tony Storm and Mariah May. Those are the key matches on this show. Now we find out there's going to be a casino gauntlet match. The previous ones have been a lot of fun. So I'm sure this one will be too, and maybe we'll get some new faces in there. Maybe that's how Pac gets his Wembley moment. He gets to be in the Gauntlet match, although I don't think he wins. So the card is filling out nicely, but the energy was just not there tonight. And again, the majority of the people who were supposed to be on this show made it to the show. I understand that a lot of them went through hell getting there, and I don't envy them, you know, for what they went through. But again, just sitting here through this 2-hour show, this was, you know, a very dull episode of Dynamite. This was just very missable. Hopefully they come back and do better next week. This wasn't it. This show here tonight was not it. Here's what you guys thought in the poll for Dynamite tonight. 36.6% thumbs up, 63.4% thumbs down. A negative score overall. A thumbs down overall for AEW Dynamite tonight. You guys have spoken. The people have spoken. There it is. That's it. People let their voices be heard. All right, let's get to your super chats. There's one. Hey, Adrian Pfeiffer. Thank you, sir. We are currently sitting at 322 likes. Not good. Not looking good. All right, let me give a shout out here to kick this off to Groovy Goose. I hope Groovy Goose is having a very groovy night. A lot groovier than I had watching this AEW show. He says, gold, silver, bronze. Which Joe would win in a no disqualification street fight? Samoa Joe, Joe Hendry, or Joe Pesci? Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe gets the gold. Joe Pesci gets the silver. And Joe Hendry gets his ass kicked. Although I love Joe Hendry. But he's going to get his ass kicked. Owen Curtis, heard a report that WWE is ditching Def Rebel and replacing them with Lenny Kravitz. Seth Rollins walking down to Are You Gonna Go My Way would be epic. Lenny Kravitz? I don't know where you're hearing this from. It sounds like a fever dream, what you just described. Yeah, I don't know about the validity of that, so I'm going to have to punt on that for now, but you know what? I'll take anybody at this point. I'll take fucking Miley Cyrus doing WWE themes over Def Rebel. Who was that girl that did that song Friday? Remember that song? Friday, Friday, gonna get down on Friday. What the fuck was her name? I'll have her do the music. How about that? I'll take her over Def Rebel. Jerome Eugenio. Who do you consider to be the best promo among all of the women's wrestlers? Mariah May is a pretty good promo. Britt Baker tonight was a pretty good promo. I'm going to say Mariah May. I've liked her recent stuff. Natasha Rigby. I saw a monster. Hello, Natasha. Wanted to drop by to say hi and thank you for all your content. Finally made my way to donating to your stream. Well, Natasha, it is a pleasure to have you, and I thank you very much for the support. And I hope you enjoy your stay. Mikey S13. Were Rock and Orton supposed to feud for the Intercontinental title in 2004? No, they were not. Rojo Bear 24, Yo Quiero Taco Bell. Oh my god, those commercials live rent-free in my head. Yo Quiero Taco Bell. With that stupid little rat-looking dog. Rebecca Black. Okay, that's who it was. That's right. Does she have any other songs, or is she one of those one-hit wonders? Because that's the only song of hers that I know. Friday, Friday. That's what Jericho sounds like when he sings. Friday, Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Oz and Glorious, hi Solo Branch. The Mariah May, Tony Storm angle is the best thing happening in AEW, along with everything Hangman is tied into. MJF needs something else. Alex Abrahante says a manager maybe. MJF does not need a manager. He doesn't need a manager. The closest thing, you know, like if MJF was in WWE, I would love to see MJF and Paul Heyman, just because I think that would be a great combo, but he doesn't need a mouthpiece. But MJF and someone like Heyman would make a good pairing. The closest thing to that in AEW would be Don Callis, and I just don't have any interest in seeing that. There's nobody in AEW right now that MJF needs to be paired up with. Brandon Proctor, thank you for the super chat, Brandon. Oz and Glorious again says, hit that like button. Yes, indeed. BW Rojas, great job on Monday for your reviews. Thank you. Maybe you can get my name right next time. Also, Cole did call Abby Nikki Cross, and American Made may become a joke stable. Do you agree? Well, if they keep losing, they will. They're going to have to win some. But Monday wasn't their night. Monday was about establishing the Wyatt Six. So now they need to establish American Made and give them some wins. Otherwise, they will become the joke stable that you just said. Oz and Gloria, shout out to BK Employee of the Month, One Ball Wrestling, who thinks washed Tongans pretending to be Samoan and Logan Paul shilling toxic energy drinks and Odyssey Jones dancing is better than AEW. There you go. Oz and Glorious, thank you for the 12. Food Hive, all this food talk, I feel like I have been summoned. You have. You have. Now what are you going to prepare? That's the question. What is going to be the cuisine tonight? What is on the menu, Food Hive? Are we doing chicken? Are we doing some steak? Are we doing some filet? Are we doing salmon? Pork chops? Roast beef? Pork loin? What are we doing? Now I'm getting hungry. No cap. I feel bad for Swerve. People's champion Tony put the belt on him. He has been booked as a placeholder this entire run. Bryant is going over, no doubt. I don't know who Bryant is, but yeah, I mean, once they added that stipulation, title versus career, made it kind of obvious what the outcome is going to be. Calling him a placeholder, I don't agree with that. You could say that his run is about to end prematurely, but if I'm right, he may win the belt back at WrestleDream. And that's fine, as long as he gets the belt back. But I don't know that you can call him a placeholder when he just beat Will Ospreay, who's one of the most over stars on that entire roster. So, I wouldn't call him a placeholder. Justin G, we have Soup Discourse in the chat again. Good. Good, I like Soup. Oz and Glorious, regarding BlizzFam, Brian is not retiring like Alexa did. Food Hive, Soup is not a meal. Who gets the reference? Kenny Banya gets the reference. It depends, though. Did you crumple crackers into it? Because if you put crackers in it, it might be a meal. Adrian Pfeiffer, when will we get a payoff for the Elite trying to take over and attacking Tony Khan? Why are the Bucks still randomly making matches and suspending wrestlers? Do winner take all control at Wembley? I say just end the fucking angle and just be done with it. All the questions that you just asked are valid questions, and there really is no good answer for it. Tony Khan is just sitting, literally sitting next to them at the same table on headset in the back every single week. So, your guess is as good as mine as far as the when and where and how they pay this angle off, but this angle is D-E-A-D dead. And I don't know what they can do. They could bring in Shane McMahon for all I care. It ain't gonna help. It ain't gonna make a difference. Not one bit. Oz and Glorious, I personally was burning up for the TBS champion. Well, you're the only one. Be calm, see clearly. Hey, Solo, been fighting depression. Hashtag be calm. Well, that's a tough thing to deal with. A lot of people deal with it. More than you would know. Probably most people in this chat, if not themselves, know someone who has dealt with it or is going through it. And the best I can say to you, brother, is keep your chin up and just be calm. That's it. And we are here every single week, so if you want to hang out, you know that you're always welcome. Justin G, smash the like, or Jarrett main events the rest of 2024. Yeah, I mean, as dead as this Dynamite felt tonight, it's just one of those nights. We're 354 likes, by the way, so probably not going to happen tonight. There's always Friday, though. Maybe we'll be the booker on Friday. The Juliet. I would like Priest and Rhea to take the tag belts from Balor and McDonagh. If China can be a multi-IC champion, Rhea can hold the men's tag belts at least once. I don't even need to see Priest and Rhea win the tag belts. Priest and Rhea are going to wrestle Dominic and Liv. That's going to be the match for Bash in Berlin. What I would like to see, and what I think they could do if they wanted to, they probably don't, I want a match between Rhea Ripley and Dominic Mysterio. You can do it in such a way where it's not like, you know, Dom is having a full-blown match with her and smacking her around or any of that stuff. But I think it would be very entertaining to see how they can work a match like that. And Dominic is the perfect person for it. Like, if Rhea was going to go in there and intimidate anybody and beat the piss out of anybody, it would be Dominic. So I want to see them work a Rhea versus Dom match at some point. Well, you know, BlissFan makes a good point. Rhea wrestled Tozawa. That's true. I forgot about that. That's right. She did. Well, then she could definitely wrestle Dom. Project Libertad, another John Moxley New Japan title run, or make CM Punk's bracelet a new title in WWE. Yeah, we'll have Punk's bracelet be a new title in WWE, and let's have somebody else win it and wear a bracelet that says AJ and Larry on it, and that won't be weird. That won't be weird at all. Retro KOH, Rebecca Black also made a song called Saturday, and now you know. Oh, did she? I did not know that. Well, then I guess she's got five more songs to make now, doesn't she? HBKC83, was there ever heat between Ventura and JR? I remember hearing Jesse saying something about JR being difficult with him when he was announcing in WCW. I don't think the two of them got along. It was just, I've heard Jim Ross talk about their relationship before. He was very much someone who would come to work prepared and would have notes and do a lot of research. Jesse just showed up. He just showed up to work and just did commentary. So they were very different in that regard, and I do think there may have been some friction there. I don't know that they ever hated each other, but they weren't exactly friends either. Justin G, I actually am making pork loin after the stream. What time zone do you live in? After the stream? It's almost midnight. You must be out on the West Coast. The Juliet, post-show angle with Hangman attacking Double J and Mariah and Tony brawling backstage released on social media. Well, boy, that would have been nice to have on the actual show. Joseph Brooks, gold, silver, bronze on the dream matches that we could have had at some point in WWE history. Undertaker against Sting, Shawn Michaels against Eddie Guerrero, and Batista against Brock Lesnar. Are we sure that Batista and Brock never happened in any capacity? I'd be very surprised by that. Maybe I'm thinking of Batista and Goldberg, because I think that was a match on Raw once. I give the gold of these options here. I give the gold to Undertaker and Sting. I give the silver to HBK and Guerrero. And I give the bronze to Batista and Brock. That is the correct ranking. And there you go. Oh, he's on Mountain Time. Justin says he's on Mountain Time. And he works late. That's what I suspected. That's what I thought. Might have happened in OVW. Yeah, maybe when he was Leviathan. Leviathan and Brock maybe in Ohio Valley. I'm almost positive it had to have happened at some point. OVW would make sense because they were there around the same time. Anyway, that's it for the Super Chats, I guess. So thank you guys for hanging out with me here on a Wednesday night. hardly the most exciting episode of Dynamite. I really hope they pick up the pace next week, man. We are getting very close to Wembley Stadium. They're going to have almost 50,000 people in that stadium. It's going to be their biggest show all year. And this show tonight was fucking dead. So hopefully they breathe some life into it next week. And hopefully everybody gets home safe. Because I know a lot of people went through hell to get there because of the storms. A lot of canceled flights. I sympathize. But that doesn't mean that this was an exciting show. It was not. Just because people had difficulty getting to work doesn't mean I have to say nice things about the show if I didn't like the show. If you don't like it, tough shit. Food Hive says salmon lo mein tomorrow night. Ooh, that sounds good. I wish I were in Texas. Oz Inglorious. Can I recap TNT? No, I can't. I will tell you, though, that the show last night, we went almost 4 hours. We had a lot to talk about, JD and I, on TNT last night. I think it was our best episode yet. Great discussion, a lot of ground covered, and did not agree on everything. So I thought it was entertaining in that regard. But go check that out if you missed it over on his channel, Tuesday Night Titans, episode 60 from last night. And also check out the new TNT t-shirt. Check out that bitchin' logo. Make your Tuesdays a little more Titan. It is now available. You can find it over on JD's Bonfire page where he has his other shirts. That's where you can pick it up. It's pretty badass. Eminem, do you see The Rock against Cody main eventing WrestleMania 41? And if so, will it be Bloodline rules again? I don't know. I don't know what Rock is going to do. It sounds like they set it up. Rock's last appearance, he set it up, right? He foreshadowed it. So I'm going to say yes, and I'm going to say no. It will not be Bloodline rules. The Juliet says, Brock and Batista had one match in 2002 on the main roster. Okay, so I knew I wasn't totally crazy. So they did have a match on the main roster. Retro KOH. Have you ever had Vietnamese pho? Delicious stuff. Try it sometime. You know, we have a pho restaurant not far from where I am. And I've heard good things about it. I've heard it's very similar. Some of the dishes, anyway, are very similar to what you might find in a Chinese restaurant. I've never tried it. Is it overly spicy? I don't like spicy food. So, I mean, if it's overly spicy, I'm not interested. But I have heard good things. I haven't tried it. I'd love to, though. And Boney, you think Moxley shows up at All In or All Out, or will it be a while? Personally, I think he could be a good opponent for Okada. Now, it looks like they're setting up for Okada and Claudio, which is going to be a badass match. I don't think we're going to see Moxley, but you can't discount the possibility he's in the Casino Gauntlet. You know, he could be a surprise in the gauntlet match. You know what? I think he deserves time off. Remember that period where he was going to take a vacation? And then the punk stuff blew up, and then they put the belt back on him, and he never got his vacation. Let the man enjoy his vacation. He doesn't have to be on every big show. But Boney, thank you. I see that we are now at 411. Likes. Boy, you guys snuck in there on me, didn't you? I was ready to get out of here. I was ready to hit the button. But you guys snuck in there at the last second, so thank you very much for all of the likes. Let's go ahead and be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
It's pronounced as pho. So I stand corrected. It's not foe. I thought it was foe. It's pho. Okay. Well, I have not had pho. I didn't have fun tonight either watching this show. Be the booker. Here we go. Boy, all you people, man. Like my English teacher.
You pronounced it wrong. It's pho.
Fuck you. All right, here we go. Tag team, Be the Booker. We begin with The Big Show and The Miz. My God, they're draped in gold. I forgot they had both sets of belts. Miz Show. Or Biz. I like Biz. Man, that's a missed opportunity. They could have called themselves, like, they could be like, we're the best team in the biz. Kind of merge them together. All right, Big Show and Miz. Going to be taking on Braun Strowman and Nicholas. 9-year-old Nicholas is a tag team champion. I wonder if The Undertaker would say that Nicholas brought value to the Raw tag team titles. Sad. Some wrestlers took too many chair shots to the head. Women's Be the Booker. Here we go. Look at this. Food Hive. Legit have not seen Be the Booker live in months. I've missed this. Well, get ready. Get ready. Strap in. Because we're about to book a women's match. We're going to begin with Beth Phoenix. Arr! Arr! Look how angry she is. Arr! When she saw Adam Copeland climbing to the top of that cage and she knew. She said, arr! Beth Phoenix, who is officially out of her WWE contract. Her contract expired. She's a free lady. If Tony Khan wanted to bring her into the AEW women's division, she could join. It's up to her. Beth Phoenix against Melina. This right here was the best part of Melina's matches. Well, we're not doing too well. So it all comes down to our main event here. We are not doing well at all with these matches. We've got to book ourselves a decent main event. We begin, oh boy, with the Lethal Weapon, Steve Blackman. Steve Blackman is going to be in the main event. I don't know. I don't think this is headed in a good direction, guys. I like Steve Blackman, but I don't know about the main event. It's going to be Steve Blackman going one-on-one with, oh boy, Kazuchika Okada. Look at that golden robe. Look at that golden robe. And you know, it pains me to do this. Okada and Blackman is not a main event. I love Okada, but that's no main event, and unfortunately that means a clean sweep in the opposite direction. Yes, indeed. Unfortunately, that is a clean sweep of losses here tonight in Be the Booker. Well, they can't all be winners. I'm bugging, they're saying. How could you give that the buzzer? Rest in peace, Salamazer. You've pissed off Steve Blackman. Well, he doesn't have to know. He doesn't have to know that I gave him the buzzer. As long as you don't tell him. And you're not going to tell him because you're going to keep your mouth shut. You understand me? This stays between us. Oz says, why hasn't Mariah May arrived at HOG yet? She's always welcome. She's a little busy right now. She's about to win the Women's World Championship at Wembley Stadium. But if she wants to win and then bring that title to House of Glory like Swerve brought his, I'd love to have her. I will roll out the red carpet for her if she wants to come to House of Glory. She has an open invitation. I will be live with you on Friday night. We have one more stream this week. It's SmackDown. It's the post-SummerSlam episode. The post-SummerSlam Raw was fucking great. That show on Monday night was one of the best shows of the entire year. So I have high hopes for Friday night. Roman Reigns will be on that show as well. We should find out what Nick Aldis got in return from Adam Pearce and their little deal. And we'll see. I guess we'll see if Jacob Fatu is moving around, if he's on the show, if he's moving around okay. So I'm expecting a big show and hopefully a big audience here on the channel for the stream on Friday night. Go back and check out the Raw review if you missed it. We had a lot of people in here, 2,000 plus. That's not typical for a Monday night, but we had that here on Monday. So come on back on Friday. Until then, be well, stay safe, have yourselves a great night. If you are in the path of this storm that's going on, stay safe, please. And I will see you for SmackDown on Friday night. Until then,